The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must eat
America. Good evening, patriots and freedom fighters. I'm broadcasting from my home studio in downtown Belmont, Pennsylvania, worldwide as National Intel Report, live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio and Patriot Nation Radio Network. Welcome to 2 hours of common sense and constitutional discussion. I'm your Thursday host, Peter Serafine. And, you know, just a day or two ago was Flag Day. And I do a speech for most of the patriotic holidays, including Flag Day. I do 4 a year: Memorial Day, Flag Day, Independence Day, and Veterans Day. And I do these, and I post them out on social media. And I posted the Flag Day one this year, and one of the comments on one of the social media accounts was, somebody said, you know, there's an old person asked me if the mail ran on Flag Day, and I hadn't heard Flag Day since I was a kid in the 1980s. And my response to that was, that's unfortunate. So I want to talk a little bit about how I think that's part of the problem in our country. But first, speech is only like 7 or 8 minutes long, so why don't we just play that? Flag Day 2023 is a milestone. Exactly 100 years ago, on June 14th, 1923, 69 civic organizations gathered at Memorial Continental Hall in Washington, D.C. The gathering had an important purpose, one that still resonates today. At 9:30 a.m., Colonel Garland W. Powell, National Director for Americanism for the American Legion, called the conference to order. After a benediction from a bishop, Powell introduced the first guest speaker, Warren G. Harding, President of the United States. Harding spelled out the purpose of the meeting, quote, "I hope you succeed in formulating a code that will be welcomed by all Americans and that every patriotic and educational society in the Republic will commit itself to endorsement and observance and purpose of the code that you adopt here today," end quote. The National Flag Conference of 1923 accomplished Harding's goal. In 2 days, the assembly drafted 15 rules for the proper use and care of the U.S. flag. 2 states made the flag code instruction required curriculum in public schools. Congress would later adopt the code into public law. While it remains federal law, violations carry no civic or criminal penalties. Punishment and shame were never the purpose of the U.S. Flag Code. It is about education. Those who are most likely to fly the American flag genuinely wish to do so in a respectful and dignified manner. Through its guidelines, the code brings consistency and nobility to the majestic display of our nation's most valuable symbol. Flag Day itself has roots dating back to the founding of the Republic. It was the Second Continental Congress that passed a resolution on June 14, 1777, which stated, quote, that the flag of the 13 United States be 13 stripes, alternate red and white, that the Union be 13 white five-pointed stars in a blue field representing a new constellation, end quote. The date chosen for the original flag resolution was especially significant given that the new nation was celebrating the second birthday of America's Continental Army. The U.S. flag would become and remain a symbol of service and pride for millions of veterans. Sergeant William Kearney was one of the many veterans who would bleed for the flag. A member of the 54th Massachusetts Colored Infantry, Kearney fought valiantly at Fort Wagner, South Carolina, during the Civil War. When the color sergeant went down, Sergeant Kearney grabbed the flag, led the way to the parapet, and planted it. When the troops... fell back, he again carried the flag through the fierce fire and was wounded 4 times. Sergeant Kearney became the first black recipient of the Medal of Honor, and it was awarded for his defense of the flag. Even though America was not perfect for black people like Sergeant Kearney, the flag represented the perfect union that those who fought for it hoped it would become. Legendary labor leader Samuel Gompers shared his view of the flag during the 1923 conference. "To us," he said, and I quote, "the American flag means more than even its colors portray. It means the leadership of the democratic and humane struggle that has been carried on through all the ages. It is a struggle that continues to this day, and it is for this reason that we must continue to wave the flag at every opportunity," unquote. There is no single answer as to what the American flag means. During the century since the flag conference, well-meaning patriots have adopted respectful traditions that appear to run contrary to the flag code. It is for that reason that the American Legion urges Congress to pass modifications to the code, which would include additional days to encourage the flying of Old Glory, permitting flag patches to be worn on military and first responder uniforms, and being able to carry the flag horizontally for patriotic effect. Respect for the flag should not be limited to Flag Day or Americanism Month. We salute the flag out of our affection and pride, not because we fear a tyrannical boot if we don't. Flag Day is not just about reflecting on the past. It's also about looking to the future. It is a time to recommit ourselves to the ideas and principles that our flag represents. It is a reminder that we must always strive to be a nation that embraces unity, justice, and freedom. The flag brought us inspiration during the aftermath of 9/11 attacks, much like it did during World War II when the Marines famously raised it under withering battle on Iwo Jima. The medal representations at the Olympics are another venue in which our nation's flag often plays a starring role. The 1968 Olympics in Mexico City were no exception. Protests and political unrest in the United States made the flag an unpopular symbol for many Americans. Desecration was common, and patriotic displays seemed despised. One Olympian would have none of it. He was a 19-year-old boxer from Houston, Texas, who won the gold medal by knocking out his Soviet opponent. George Foreman, a future 2-time heavyweight champion and grill entrepreneur, grasped a small American flag and waved it in the center of the ring after his victory. "The only regret is that I didn't have 2 flags to wave," Foreman told American Legion magazine in 2013. "I mean, because the country hasn't only been great for me, but I have grandkids now, and I want to show them how great it is," unquote. Millions of viewers worldwide needed no convincing. They had seen the flag many times before as they were liberated from fascists, tyrannical, and communist regimes. For them, the flag wasn't just a symbol of the United States. It was, and remains today, a symbol of freedom. And thank you. God bless America. God bless the flag of the United States. Long may she wave. So that was my Flag Day speech this year. Flag Day being yesterday, June 14th. Today, Thursday, June 15th. I want to pose the question to you, our audience. So nobody's heard of Flag Day anymore. Nobody seems to celebrate Flag Day anymore. We don't celebrate patriotism at all. Is that a big part of our problem? Or how much of the problems of the United States is because we don't teach patriotism to the young? We don't celebrate patriotism the way that we used to. And if there's no pride in country, then, you know, what's the difference? What's the matter? How much of the problems that we have in the world today, in our world, are because of that change to the education system? So, live call-in show, I do want to hear from you. I want to know what you think about that. 512-248-8252. If you want the toll-free line, it's 800-313-9443. So like I said when I started, I posted that speech on all of my social media accounts, and somebody said that they hadn't even heard the phrase Flag Day since they were a kid in the 1980s. So you're looking, going back like 40 or more years since that person had heard of Flag Day. Now, like I spelled out in the speech there, June 14, 1775, Continental Congress established the Continental Army. 2 years later, to the day, June 14, 1777, the Continental Congress basically defined our flag, designed our flag as it exists today. 13 red and white stripes, blue field, five-pointed stars. Then June 14th, 1923, when the flag code was created by 69 different civic organizations that had gotten together to do just that. How many people even realize that the flag code actually is law? That it was honestly passed into law. And there are rules for the proper care and display of the United States flag. Before we get into some of the problems with that, let me remind you that the Wellness Company is where you need to go to find medical professionals, doctors and pharmacists and a pharmacy that can get you care, get you treatment, and avoid the woke cancel mob. That's the Wellness Company, TWC.health. Use the code Lighthouse. I'll save you some money. You can buy a membership. You can get great American-made supplements. You can talk to doctors and pharmacists. All at TWC.health. And use code Lighthouse when you're there. Later tonight, at the bottom of this first hour, so in about 15 minutes or so, we got Colonel Mike Ford from American Free News Network is going to join us. He wants to talk about, well, felonies versus not felonies that are in the news today. And then at the top of the second hour, so 7 o'clock Eastern time, we're going to have Corey Haig from Liberty Uncensored newspaper going to be joining the show. And I didn't hear back from him as to which of the articles in his newspaper he wants to talk about, but I'm sure he'll have something fabulous. Corey's a very energetic and interesting guy. I had a lot of fun last time we talked to him, and I'm glad that he decided that he was going to come join us once a month so that we can keep going. So we're back to the discussion, talking about Flag Day, the flag code, and how many of our social problems are because we don't celebrate things like Flag Day anymore. Love to hear your thoughts. 512-248-8252. So there's a lot of talk in the last day or two about the transgendered person at the White House that, I don't know, bared their man boobs on White House grounds, and everybody's saying that that's, you know, just completely unacceptable. You can't do that at the White House. I was more bothered by the display of flags. Anybody else notice it? So they had the gay and transgender pride flag, which isn't even just a rainbow anymore. Now it's like a rainbow flag with a big black and brown and whatever triangle in the middle of it. And it's just, wow. Every time you turn around, they're adding more stuff to the flag, just like they're adding more letters to their acronym. But anyway, the display on Pride Presentation Day at the White House had two American flags and this gay pride transgender flag. The gay pride transgendery flag was in the middle. And all three flags were at the same height. Now, according to U.S. flag code, which we just discussed, is U.S. law. You'd think the White House would know that. The U.S. flag should always be in a position of prominence and dominance over all of the other flags. Now, when displayed amongst other nations' flags, international flags, they're all displayed at the same height. But when they're state flags or municipal flags or other organization flags, the U.S. flag is supposed to be higher. So here we go. We've got three flags hanging off the front of the White House. Two U.S. American flags and one transgender flag. LGBTQIAMOUSE flag. That's in the middle. All at the same height. So they're like the White House isn't even following the U.S. flag code anymore. If they don't do it, how do we expect it to be taught to our kids? And over in our chat room, in the video chat room, if you want to watch, I don't know why I would want to watch, but if you want to watch, you can find this show on RBN's YouTube page or on my Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Oh, no, I don't have a YouTube. Anyway, all different places. I got the Kentucky Leprechaun says, good evening, brother. And Sarah Nichols, who I believe is on the phone, wants to remind everybody to share out links to the show because that's the only way we get around the algorithms. We on the right side of the political aisle, we need your help. If we ever want to get anywhere, ever want to grow, if you ever want to hear our voice again, we need your help to share out links. Tell everybody what you're listening to. So let's go to the phone. We got Sarah in Oregon on line one. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hi. The flag code isn't being followed by the Biden White House because they don't know it. Because they're not right in the head.
Well, they don't know that. They don't know the Constitution. They don't seem to know anything about what makes our America or makes our country the great republic that it is.
Yeah, and that's why we don't teach our kids about Flag Day. That's my extent, and bye!
Bye, Sarah. Thank you for the call. Leprechaun says, in other words, the flag promoting mental disease in referred to the LGBTQIAALMNOP flag. It's the flag promoting mental disease. Yeah, that's how I see it anyway. So I believe that a huge portion of our problems are because we don't teach things like the flag code. We don't teach things in our schools about why we are the great republic that we are. Patriotism is gone. There is no more patriotism in public schools. And a simple way to bring some of that back would be to teach the flag code again. It's a start. It's a simple start. I mean, there's 15 rules. It's not monstrous. It'd be a lot easier than teaching some of the stuff that they do try to teach. Well, Colonel Ford is jumped on the show already again early. It's them military people always, you know, if you're on time, you're late. So let's welcome Colonel Mike Ford to the show.
It is time for Managing Editor of America Free News Network, retired Colonel Mike Ford.
Colonel!
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. If I was any better, I'd be twins. And that would be a bad thing for the world, let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't want to look at you.
No. Well, most people don't. You. Even Her Majesty doesn't like looking at me all that much. So you know how that works.
So you heard at least a little bit of the opening segment there. What do you think about all of the Flag Day and the lack of teaching anything to do with the flag code? Or,
well, you know, you have to set priorities. And in a truly just society, I think it's appropriate that we only give one day to the men who and women who've given their lives to this great country and celebrate disordered and deviant behavior for an entire month. I think that's the right thing to do.
That's what it sounds like.
Sarcasm off.
Well, over in the chat room, we got the comment here that creepy, sleepy, kiss him, feel him, sniff him, Uncle Joe, Pado, or Uncle China Joe, Uncle China Pado Joe. Let me try that again, just because it's funny. Creepy, sleepy, kiss him, feel him, sniff him, Uncle China Pado Joe doesn't care about our flag or our country. He just want the kickbacks.
I would say that's a correct assessment, and that's a terrible thing that I am willing to articulate that about a serving commander in chief. It just right. it's terrible. I don't know how else to put that.
Until Joe Biden, I really, really tried my best to abide by the rule of don't speak ill of a sitting president. I'll speak ill of policy,
right?
But not the person. And the current resident in the White House there has really pushed me on that, and I have a really hard time trying to hold to that rule, although there is plenty of policy to criticize too.
Well, there is. That's a lot of low hanging fruit there, pal, let me tell you.
All right, so you sent me an article that you want to talk about tonight, but let's not get into that until we actually get to, you know, the segment when you're supposed to be here.
Oh, when I'm legally here? Okay.
Yeah, in like another 15 minutes or something like that.
Okay, so I'm an illegal guest host right now, right?
An illegal guest host. Uninvited.
No. An uninvited. Yeah. Illegal guest host. All right.
You know, that's what I expect from you military people, you know. Early is on time is late. So I expect you to be here early. It's a good thing I don't have too many guests. Otherwise, I'd be, confused with people popping in all the time like that. I try to keep it to two or fewer a night. Yeah. And here we go with the internet problems again. There's a big surprise.
Well, I have a spare hammer if you need to adjust your computer.
Yeah, I need to do something with it, let me tell you. Hey, I might lose my camera, but, you know, whatever. It's got to be done sometimes.
Well, that's a feature, not a bug. Did I say that?
Yeah, that's a bonus when it comes to me, right?
Yeah.
So I've been having these horrible problems with doing the live video broadcast. And for the longest time, I thought it was my internet connection. Nope, it's not that. Started to think it was maybe my computer, like I doubled the amount of memory in my computer. Nope, it's not that. It's a freaking Windows camera frame service crap that's running in the background. And at some point it just eats up all of my CPU and memory, and my computer basically crashes. So now I've at least learned that I can go into the task manager and kill it, and then it'll restart, and it's better afterwards. So I, instead of having, like, you know, 2-hour show full of internet problems, I can keep it to just a few seconds. But we've come to the break, 3-minute commercial break. Return on the other side with retired Colonel Mike Ford, managing editor of American Free News Network. Peace.
While you were sleeping, they came and took it all away.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Yes, you are. You turned into the National Intel Report. I'm Peter Serafin, your Thursday host. And with me tonight is retired Colonel Mike Ford, managing editor of American Free News Network. And you brought with you an article that you wanted to share over at AFNN.us. The headline of this article is Hillary's emails, felonies. Trump documents, not even close. I think most people would agree with you, but let's talk about some of the nitty-gritty of why you say that is what it is.
Okay. First of all, let me go ahead and deal with the Trump half of it to begin with. And this is not a cop-out. It's just it's easier to work it this way. Trump's actions, as far as I can see so far, are a lawful exercise of executive power. He had the power of POTUS to wake up one morning, stick his finger in his ear and say, that's declassified. Okay, that's called plenipotentiary power. He has it. There's no argument against that. Everything that went on down in Mar-a-Lago, just because stuff had classified markings on it, does not mean the documents were classified. Okay, but I'll leave that to the lawyers and everybody else to sort out. I want to
pause there for a second.
Roger.
I believe it was Gerald Ford had a documents-related case that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court decided that basically as president, just by the act of removing the document from the White House, declassified. There is no set process.
And I'm going to get into why that is when I start talking about Hillary here.
Okay.
All So, and that's a good, that's a, actually a perfect transition. There is a set process. It just doesn't apply to the president. And right. here's why. The whole purpose of the classification system and the processes for classifying, declassifying, handling, storage, use, communication, all of that stuff is to serve the president. Okay? He is the one that's the final arbiter. Okay? So all the processes, they don't apply to him. They apply to the people that work for him. And let me back up and give you a better example of this. You remember when there was a fat lieutenant colonel that was testifying at the impeachment hearings, and this young Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, and he said President Trump was speaking out of policy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not the way it works, young man, and that's why you didn't make full colonel. Okay? The president cannot speak out of policy because when he speaks, it is policy. If forever and ever we've been talking about that the U.S. position is on Thursdays we turn the lights on at 6 o'clock, and one day the president says our policy is to turn the lights on at 7, that becomes the policy, period. This is the same thing with this classification stuff. The president can say it's declassified, that's it. He if he has a standing policy saying everything I drag over there to Mar-a-Lago to read becomes unclassified, then it's unclassified, period.
Right. There is no set policy for the president. I do want to point out Mr. Mike Hawkshuge in the chat room here that says if Biden did all of this, hell would break loose, and tells us to stay stupid. Biden did all of this and worse. Biden took documents when he was a senator,
and the act of
removing a document, a classified document, from the SCIF, the secured information room, as a senator, is punishable by prison time, even if you walk out into the hallway with it. He had boxes of them in three or four different locations. So don't do the whataboutism there, Mr. Mike, unless you're really willing to say, you know, get into it. Because, you know, if Biden did that and more, and did it before he was president.
And that's the huge difference. He did it as an underling. And the way this is supposed to work is these people are exercising power on behalf of the president. Okay, so they have to follow the procedures. He doesn't have to. That's the way it works. Sorry. What makes it even worse is that in the case of Hillary Clinton especially, one of the things that you heard the Christopher Wray say, well, we couldn't prove intent and no prosecutor would prosecute her. I'm sorry. If you gave me one-tenth of Mueller's resources, I could have her in jail on at least 3 felonies easily. And I'm not even a lawyer.
Right.
And the reason is because the things that she did proved intent. And let me give you a little inside baseball stuff. When it comes to storage of information, you have generally 3 systems. There's some other stuff out there. I don't want to get into that because I don't want the FBI knocking at my door. But basically, you have an unclassified system. In the Army, they call it the Nippernet. Okay. In the State Department, they have their own little homegrown system. That's for all the unclassified and maybe official use stuff. And then they have, for confidential and secret, they have what they call the SIPRNet. And then for top secret and above, they have what they call JWICS. Okay? And the deal there is to keep what they call spillage from happening. None of those systems can connect.
Right.
It is physically impossible to send an email from JWICS to a SIPRNet system or from a SIPRNet system to an unclassified system. The system won't let you do it. So that means the only way that some of the stuff that got on Hillary's computer or her server, the only way that was able to happen was through a deliberate series of felonious actions that somebody took. And it was most likely somebody printed something off of a JWICS, if it was imagery, and there was imagery. They printed some imagery off of JWICS, scrubbed off the classification markings, stuck it in her pocket or whatever, went over to a non-secure scanner or fax machine and sent it out that way.
Hmm.
That's how they call that the sneaker net is what they do. Okay. okay, because basically you're walking it somewhere. The other way they could do that, for example, if she was in a meeting and was taking notes, now she could take those notes and she can walk out the door with those notes, which she's not supposed to do unless they're in a courier bag. But if she turns around and types what she saw there at that meeting and types that into an unclassed system, that's a felony. Now, one of the biggest now that's all by inference. One of the things we have is actual proof of what she did. And I got to give a caveat here to everybody watching this. The last time I touched any of this stuff was 2012. Okay, and that date is important. Okay, back in 2011, Hillary Clinton was working some deal. At Sexgate, she was working some deal, and she needed to get some information that was from back in the States over to wherever she was working. And she got a hold of one of her aides, a guy named Jake Sullivan, and she told him, fax me the stuff. And they were having difficulty getting it to her because the secure fax machine was broke. Imagine that. So what she told him to do was to strip the classified headers off of it and send non-secure.
Right.
Her words, here are her words. If they can't, when the guy's saying, we're trying to get it fixed, if they can't, and this is in her own emails, if they can't, turn into non-paper with no identifying heading and send non-secure.
Wow.
Okay, so that's what you call prima facie evidence of intent.
Right. That's okay. If she's telling somebody to commit a crime.
Exactly.
Okay, hold on for a second. Again, there's a question from a listener that came, or a viewer over in the Twitch chat room that I want you to ponder on for a second while we take a phone call. The question is, so should both Hillary and Trump be convicted, or should they both be forgiven? So ponder on that while we go to, oh, never mind. The caller is gone. Apparently we lost him.
Well, there's no pondering about it. Trump had every power, okay? Government doesn't have rights. Government has power,
right,
or exercises power. Trump, as POTUS, had every power to move that stuff to Mar-a-Lago under the Presidential Records Act, which, by the way, has civil sanctions, no criminal sanctions.
Right.
Okay. All right. So he had every power to do that. So he was committing no crime. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, and Joe Biden were committing crimes. Hillary's is very easy to prove there because I've got the evidence of intent there. You can't make any excuse. Well, it was an accident. You know, it was the move, and things got caught up in storage and all that other stuff. Okay. In Hillary's case, right there in these two instances that I spoke of. One, okay, imagery off of the JWIC system, or two, stripping the headers off there. Those are all evidence of intent. Somebody had to actually take positive actions to move it from a classified storage device to an unclassed device. There's no other way it can happen. So that makes it a crime. And what Trump did was, like I said, he was exercising lawful power. So comparing those two, not only is it not whataboutism, the only comparison there is, look at how perverted the justice system is. A guy not committing a crime is being prosecuted, and the one who actually committed a crime, the head of the FBI stands up and says, well, no prosecutor would really prosecute that. Well, I'm telling you, like I said, if I had one-tenth of Mueller's resources, I could have her fat fundament in jail.
Right. Again, going back to, I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was Gerald Ford. Went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court decided that, you know, the president taking possession of the document basically changed it from a official document to a personal document. And by him taking it out of the White House, the act of taking it out of the White House declassified it. So if it was good for Gerald Ford, then it should be good for Trump. So now that gets rid of all of the, you know, classified document, espionage, blah, blah, blah nonsense. Unless somewhere there's proof that he was trying to sell them or something. Now you get into espionage.
That's true. That's why I keep, you know, I'm seeing some of these comments by the listeners on the side here. The law is supposed to be blind and impartial. Yes. And part of that is knowing which law to apply. In Trump's case, the law is the Presidential Records Act. That is the controlling law for two reasons. Number one, it's the most recent law.
Right.
It's more. And number two, it's most on point as to what is actually happening here. A president leaving office moving documents. Well, there's a law for that.
It turns out there's an app for that, right? I think a whole lot of this could have been stopped if the director of the FBI had a pair of cojones, or if he was unbiased in any way. I think so this all started because the archivists, the national archivists, which is, you know, librarians, the librarians decided that they wanted stuff that they thought Trump took. And they were arguing back and forth with Trump about, you know, hey, give them to me. And he's like, no, or I haven't been through them yet or whatever. Who cares? It doesn't matter. And they went to the DOJ. And the DOJ says, all right, and hands it over to the FBI. And then the FBI raids Mar-a-Lago. Whoever's in charge of the FBI should have been like, wait, we've already got an image problem about being biased, and you want me to raid the home of the former president over a process crime? Over an alleged process crime?
Actually, I'm not sure that's the way it happened. I'm pretty sure that there was some beefs going back between Library of Congress and Trump, and I think they were on the way to handling all that, but I think somebody kind of torqued the archives into making it a complaint. I don't think they really had much of a beef. They were deciding when they were going to do stuff. They were working on a process for it. Trump wanted to screen the stuff that he wanted to make sure it went out in a certain way, and wanted to make sure that he was able to keep copies of the stuff that he needed, which he's entitled to do. And if stuff that he had was going to remain classified, well, that's no problem. Mar-a-Lago is about as close to a skiff as you can get. And if it wasn't, they can build him one. All right. It's just not that hard.
But it goes back to the FBI. If the FBI was the unbiased arbiters of law, like they're supposed to be, then the FBI would have stood up and said, no,
exactly.
We're not going to do a pre-dawn raid of a former president over alleged civil process crimes.
I think the FBI and DOJ wanted to do that. I think they wanted, both of them, DOJ and FBI, wanted to do that from the beginning, and I think they took the archives and made them the useful idiots to make it happen.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Your mileage may vary.
it's definitely not equal justice, and it hasn't been for a while. Like, you can say the right side, left side. You go back to Obama when what's her face with the IRS was specifically targeting Tea Party
Lois
groups.
Lerner.
Lois Lerner, right? Lois Lerner specifically targeting the Tea Party groups. And then of course Obama saying, oh, well, we were completely unaware of that. Well, you know what? Doesn't matter. They're an executive branch agency. They're under your umbrella. Now, obviously, the president can't be aware of everything that every employee under the executive branch does, because there's like 2 million of them. But the president can make it clear that biased or partisan persecution in any way will not be tolerated. And obviously, he did not do that. Otherwise,
Trump didn't do that. He didn't fire enough people, and Biden wasn't going to do that. He doesn't look at what the DOJ and FBI is doing as a bug. He's looking at it as a feature. Democrats will disobey the law until they get caught. Okay? Until you catch them and you make their disobedience of the law personally painful, they'll keep doing it.
Right. I think there's a lot of people like that. But this is a good time for me to remind you that, you know, if you don't trust your government, you probably own guns. And if you own guns, you should get Right to Bear insurance. Right to Bear is the most affordable carry insurance on the market. And that's not just me saying that. That is Pew Pew Tactical Firearms website. They call Right to Bear the most affordable carry insurance on the market. It starts at $11 a month. And if you use code LIGHTHOUSE when you go to protectwithbear.com, that's code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com, then I'll save you 10%. And that's like getting a month free. So most affordable carry insurance on the market already, 10% off with code Lighthouse at protectwithbear.com. Highly recommend it. It's the carry insurance I have, and I was a customer before I became an affiliate because I honestly love them and believe in them, and I think everybody should get it. You were eyeballing some chat messages over there. Anything I miss?
Nothing super duper exciting. The one troll there seems to have departed.
All right. Well, all of you people making all the comments in the video chat room, I greatly appreciate the attention. Love seeing the messages there. But it is a little difficult for me to keep up with all of the messages in the video chat while trying to do the video show and keep track of my notes and sound effects and blah, 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 blah. So if you've got something really important that you want to say, we'd love to hear it from your own words in your own voice. You can call 512-248-8252 or 800-313-9443. One of these people over here had brought up Killary. And don't forget about her running, Killary running guns to Benghazi or whatever it was. I want to bring her up again because, again, the FBI and Comey. When Comey stood out there and basically, you know, stands there in front of a podium and lists multiple felonies with exact numbers of classified, you know, message chains and all this other stuff that were all on her server, lists them out, and then basically handcuffs the AG by saying no reasonable prosecutor would bring this case. That's not his job. That's not what law enforcement does. As a police officer, you don't get to gather the evidence and go, eh, the district attorney doesn't want this and just throw it away. That's not your job. You gather the evidence, you turn it over to the DA. The FBI gathers the evidence and turns it over to the AG. He shouldn't have made that speech at all.
Exactly. Exactly. What he was doing is he was providing cover for the AG.
Right. And he may very well have cost her the election, but he kept her out of jail.
I don't think he cost her the election. I think all of that was a bunch of made up. I think what he attempted to do there, with the timing of all these announcements he made, I think what he was trying to do is, there's a term for when you bring something up and then slap it down, and now you don't get to bring it up again because we've already dealt with that. I forget what there's a political term for that. But basically, he was going ahead announcing it and then say it, well, it's really not anything, and now we're not allowed to talk about it anymore. And Hillary Clinton, the criminal crone from Chappaqua, is now wearing that little hat of hers that said, but her emails. Okay, so she's now fundraising off of this.
Right.
So she is basically, you know, she is operating under the cover that he gave her. That's basically, she's saying, well, I'm innocent and Trump is guilty. Well, that's actually the opposite.
Right. Her of all people to go out there and be pushing for somebody to be in jail. I mean, the but her emails thing, I mean, 33,000 emails that were destroyed, devices destroyed so that they couldn't be recovered, et cetera, et cetera. We all know the story. After receiving a subpoena.
You know, I'm not a big fan of obstruction of justice charges unless they are tied to a specific crime where you are guilty of it. Then you go ahead and add obstruction on top of it. But one of the things that our system has been doing, except the Democrats, is we cheat. When we can't do the police work or won't do the police work, or we don't do the good lawyering work to get somebody on a real crime, well, then we get them on obstruction of justice or lying to the police. We did the same thing in the military. Right. Some less than competent JAG officers, not a lot of them, but there's a few out there that they couldn't get the troop on a real crime, so they got them on conduct unbecoming. Well, that's the old catch-all. If you can't get them actually robbing the NCO club or beating up their barracks mate, okay, we'll get you on conduct unbecoming because that's easy to prove. Same thing with obstruction. You know, if you look at the vast majority of all the guilty verdicts that went on during the investigation of Donald Trump and Manafort and all those people, if you look at the vast majority of the counts and charges and all that, it was obstruction and lying to the cops. There was, I think that I could count on my one hand the actual crimes that somebody got convicted of. Real crimes. I'm not talking about process crimes, but real crimes.
There weren't many. Hey, Laura in Michigan is on line one. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Hi. I just, if memory serves me right, when Donald Trump first took all the papers down to Mar-a-Lago, I remember he showed them to, it was either Secret Service or FBI, and he showed them the storage room he was going to keep them in. And they said, okay, that's fine, except we'd like to change to a different lock.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, the,
what's that guy right there?
Who was that, Mike? Do you remember, Mike? Was that the FBI that was down there looking around when he did that?
I think it was the folks from the archives. They said, okay, this stuff looks like it's a little sensitive. Stick a different lock on there.
The archives.
I wouldn't swear to that one now. I don't want to be accused of lying to my host and, you know, end up in jail. But I seem to remember it was the folks from the archives.
Oh. Well, that's lovely. Anything else,
also,
Laura?
I'm having a little trouble with getting excited about Flag Day. Right today in Fort Myers, Florida, I've got a friend and his daughter. They're both in court for praying hymns in front of a Planned Parenthood and praying and singing hymns. We're in the USSA, United Soviet States of America.
I don't disagree. And my point was the whole Flag Day thing. If they had continued to teach patriotism and Americanism and Flag Day and things like that in elementary school for the last, I don't know, 30 years, maybe we wouldn't be in the USSA anymore.
I learned how to fold the flag in Girl Scouts. We did that every night. We'd fold the flag and have taps, you know.
Yeah. I did the same thing in Boy Scouts and then in ROTC in high school. And then after I left the Navy, I joined the American Legion, and I was fortunate enough to serve on color guards and honor guards and buried many of my comrades, and actually had the distinct honor of burying one of the last Tuskegee Airmen.
Really?
That's I did, yeah.
Well, ma'am, let me give you a little something positive to think about. Yesterday was actually a threefer. Not a one-fur, two-fur, but a three-fur. And I'll give them to you in reverse order of seniority. Okay? Number one, it was Donald Trump's birthday.
Number two,
it was Flag Day. And, of course, number one, it was the Army birthday. So what's not to love about that? So you could go to bed smiling.
Okay. Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling, Laura. I greatly appreciate it. You missed it before you came on the show, Colonel. I went through the timeline there. 1775, June 14, 1775, the Continental Congress authorizes the Army, the Continental Army. June 14th, 1777, they describe what the U.S. flag is going to look like. June 14th, 1923, 69 civic organizations from across the country get together and come up with the flag code that Warren G. Harding was lucky enough to sign into law later. So 100 years ago yesterday, the U.S. Flag Code was created.
And, you know, all this good stuff that you could be sharing, you know, with folks that look at my website, and I haven't seen anything from you in months.
I know. You still want me to write. I'm sorry. I don't like to write. It's a lot easier to sit down and talk. Leprechaun, the United States that was once, or the United States that once was America. And I think it's the American states that once were united would probably be more accurate.
That's interesting.
All right, sir, you've got like a minute to plug your website and tell everybody how to find you and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, we're American Free News Network, AFNN.us, AFNN.us, and we are a citizen-driven website. We don't take any advertisements. All we take is private donations from $5 to whatever you got. But the biggest thing that we're looking for is more private citizens, not pundits, to come on and write for us. So if you think you have something to say, go ahead and give us a holler. You can go on the website and see the address of the managing editor at afnn.us. And if you got something to say and want to publish an article, we'll publish it for you.
And I can vouch for that. He's actually published a couple of my articles, and my articles aren't that great. I'm not a writer.
He's actually a very good writer. He just doesn't want to cough up the goods here.
All right, if you say so. I did write two books. You can go to my website, liberty-lighthouse.com. You want to judge whether or not I'm a good writer or not. You can get So Simple Even a Politician Can Understand. That's my latest one. It's still 2 years old. I can't believe it's 2 years old already. But this is a collection of about a dozen or so ideas that I've had while hosting this show. And simple ideas that would go a long way to fixing some really complex problems in our country. But it is the end of the first hour of the show. Coming back on the other side of this commercial break in 3 minutes, we got Corey Haig, the founder and editor of Liberty Uncensored. We'll be back in 3 minutes, my friends.
We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.